You know, it's always hard to get started, but I was confused because yesterday I had a man try and sell me a coffin, and I said, that's the last thing I need. Anyway,
boomer,
the no humor. More. We're the No More Leadership right BS podcast crew, and of course, we're not very funny either. But let me tell you, folks, we know a boatload of stuff about leadership. I'm with Jeff Geoff, Dr. Sam, and the one and only Myra Hall. And today, I want to talk about leadership. Surprise, right? This is a leadership podcast. But what I want to know is, I want the answer to this question from the leadership perspective. So now we're talking to the folks that are listening to our podcast who are already leaders, not ones that maybe want to be a leader. Although I think this would fit with them too, as I think about it. Anyway, I'm going to ask the question, and then Dr. Sam, I'm going to go to you. So here's the question. As the leader, do you have to like the people you lead?
That's a great question. Next question, please.
Yeah. What is the terminal velocity of a heavily laden sparrow?
Depends on when it died. Do you need to like the people you lead? I would say at some level, yes. That doesn't mean you have to be the best of buddies and go out for mimosas or drinks or apps after work. But if you don't have a base level of respect or appreciation for the folks that you're leading, which to me is somewhat equivalent to liking them, it's really hard to serve them. And I don't mean in a waitstaff kind of way, but in a method of their own career development and even in service of their job. It's very easy to bark orders at people. It's more complicated and more effective and more thoughtful to help people learn how to do their jobs. And if you don't like somebody, you don't care about their own development, just tell them what you can get out of my face. That can happen. But are you an effective leader there? No. You're just an order barker. It's not leadership. It's just a followership.
So, Geoff, you have to have a relationship. That's what I heard Dr. Sam saying there. You have to have a positive relationship with the people you lead, question mark?
Again, I'm going to vehemently agree with Dr. Sam on this one. Vehemently. It's one of those things where you as a human being, you have your own biases, things through your own lens, and how you see your team is going to dictate or affect how you treat your team.
Spell that in a sentence, please.
Spell that in a sentence. I can't. I went to public school. The thing is you have to have at least some modicum of respect, which means you generally have to know and like your team. Doesn't mean, I'm thinking probably around 60-40. 60%, you have to like them. 40%, you can be like, what the heck are they doing? Why are they doing it this way? That's okay. As long as you have that majority of your respect and intention behind that relationship is positive. You can deal with the negative things. But if you have a 50-50, man, that's really tight. And if you have less than 50%, why is that person on your team? There's obviously something that doesn't grade with you. Like, it's okay to not like how someone does a job. And it's okay to not necessarily like them as a human being. But if you combine those two things, now you're looking into like, why are you working on my team? Why are you here? It doesn't bring you joy. It doesn't bring you happiness. They don't bring you joy. They don't bring you happiness. The process itself, it's like just throwing up a giant roadblock and saying, yeah, go ahead, just go through it. Smokey and the Bandit, that thing, and let's see what happens. Not going to be a great response for you or them. It's going to create massive amounts of stress, and no one's going to be happy or work to the most productive that they can be. So you have to actually enjoy a little bit. You have to find that thing that you like about them and focus on that thing so that you can find something else. Otherwise, it's just going to be, you're just going to be hitting your head against a brick wall and like, why on earth? Why am I doing this?
Now I got the Jackie Gleason School of Leadership in my head where he's trying to teach his son how to get after that sumbitch. Yeah. That's probably not appropriate. Myra, so we talked about liking him and what Geoff was just talking about there about respect. And I'm thinking a little bit about Patrick Lencioni's five dysfunctions of a team, and that the baseline dysfunction is a lack of trust. Do trust and likability go together hand in hand?
I think you can like somebody and not necessarily trust them. I just don't think you can work together in a team without trusting. So it's got to be a baseline of your team, is that there's trust there. But as I was listening to Geoff talk, what came to my mind was this is probably one of the best reasons that you should do DISC and 12 driving forces assessments for your team. Because at high D, and I'll just use my own experience, because as a real estate agent, you are leading your clients. That's your job, is to lead them where they want to go. And I used to detest working with a high D. As a D, I just detested, because they were short, they were abrupt, and I didn't feel like I was being treated with respect. And right. They just wanted to get the bottom line. Over the years, I came to really appreciate a high D, because they were the ones that gave me the right to be a professional. They didn't want to do my job, or they wouldn't be hiring me. And so that I'm just giving you that example, because you don't like somebody does not mean that it's not a good fit. And the respect has to come in there. That comes from a lot of different areas. Respect does. Do they show up? Do they do their job? Do you get the mm-hmm. results you need?
Right.
All of that kind of stuff. And will I ever really like an ID if they're not got some I in there or some S someplace? I don't know that they're going to be my best friends. I like them as a neighbor. I like them as clients. But as far as liking them, I respect them. I respect where they're coming from. And the same thing goes with what comes to mind in the 12 driving forces, is the people that are altruistic versus the people that aren't. Mm. And altruistic people want to give a fish. The other side wants to teach them to fish. It can cause a lot of conflict. Just because you're wired differently, not either one is bad. Then you've got to go back to, do you have the right person in the right seat on the bus? So I think the like thing is, you're not going to have a party every day at work. So let's look at, how are they as employees, number one, or team members? If they're not employees, how are they as team members? And what do they bring to the team? And can you respect their contribution?
Yeah, that's good. Can you respect their contribution? Yeah, that's really good. Mr. Conroy, you and I on the DISC profile are very similar, that we're score 98 in the I department. And I don't know about you, but because I have this deep-seated desire for everyone to like me, even though I foundationally know not everyone is going to. So you've led lots of people. How do you approach this subject about, do you have to like the people you lead?
So I'm going to be the booger in the punch bowl.
Okay? Excellent.
Everyone here is saying, yep, we can like them. You know, they don't. Yeah, well, then you have to like them in some way, some shape, some form. So let's go back to when they come on board. So we hire them. You have a job opening. You have a job description. You find this unicorn that is going to fill that position. We like this person. We hire this person. We invite them into the culture of the organization. Part of joining an organization is that there has to be some agreement with that new hire or that employee that they believe in the mission, vision, and values of the organization. There has to be some agreeing on both sides on some things. You don't have to agree on politics. You don't have to agree on religion. You don't even have to agree the way they're raising their kids. But you do have to agree on at some levels of expectation, on work ethic, on deadlines. You got to have that. We hire them for some type of reason, right? We like them. But something inevitably will go south. You bring up the disc. You need everybody. We need the box of crayons at work. We can't just be one color. We need the box of crayons. We need people to disagree with us. We need people to be constructively disagreeing with us. I have hired, worked with, and moved on my share of teammates. And not everybody liked me. And I'm okay with that. But it's the culture that they have to fit into. And it's the culture they have to work within. And if they have a hard time with that, then that's where the rub starts to happen. So do we have to like the people we lead? The questions I always ask are, if you want to make everybody happy, sell ice cream. But are they doing their job? Are they meeting your expectation? Are they hitting the deadline? That's what we want from them. We're not hiring them to be their best friend, their buddy, their pal. We are hiring them to do the job. Now, to having a quote-unquote relationship with them, which every high I wants with their employees, is that extra bonus, and it's the leader's responsibility to develop some type of a relationship. It may be, hey, Sam, how you doing? You stop and talk and have that conversation, or it just might be a flyby. Hey, Sam, you're doing great. Keep it up. Appreciate you. And they're going to sit there and they're going to go, jag off, as you pass by them. And I've had my share of employees do that as well. But you know what? Even some of my worst employees, it was really interesting. I had an employee once come into my office, close the door, and just tell me what an SOB I was. And I let him go. I let him just go off on me because, one, he's been thinking about it for a long time, and I really want him to get it out. For about 10 minutes, he came after me, and I just sat there, and I took it. And then I just sat there, and I go, I appreciate you saying that. Now, can we talk about this? That kind of conversation with him. So I appreciate being stabbed in the chest rather than being in the back, but I have been stabbed in the back. But you don't have to like him. You hire them for a reason because they can do the job. They're that unicorn. They believe in your mission, vision, and culture in some way, shape, some form, some shape. They're meeting the deadlines. They're doing their job. You don't have to.
I would submit, and I'm coming to you, Geoff.
Yeah, McLaughlin's about ready to implode on me. No, go.
I'm thinking.
I got it. I can take it. Come on, bring it.
I agree that you don't have to like them, and they can still do their job. So the answer to the question, do you have to like the people you lead? The answer is no. It's probably better if you do. But here's the thing from my perspective. If they're actually meeting and exceeding your expectations, and they're positive contributors to the culture, and all of those good things, you're going to like them.
You're going to love them. But here's the thing you said, are they providing something to the positive to positivity to the culture? Right. Now, if they're becoming a cancer and a gossip, as a leader, I need to address that.
Right. And when you cut that cancer out, they're going to think you don't like them, but that's really not the point. Geoff,
go, baby.
Bonk. Okay, so let me ask this. Let me pose this question. Okay. I'm just going to throw this other punch bowl. Okay. I've read multiple stories about in leadership books where you have your top salesman who sells more than everybody else and yet is a total asshat and everyone hates him. And yet at the same time, all of a sudden you go, wait a minute, that guy's doing more than the next five guys down below him. We can't fire that guy. Why? Because he's good at his job. But there's no redeeming value in his character.
Correct.
And yes. Even though, so that then becomes a culture. So you have to be aware of where that line is.
Exactly.
And every single time you get rid of that person, okay, I can't say every single time because I don't know all the examples, but majority of the time when you get rid of that person, everybody else fills in.
Yeah.
And if that's the thing though, you gotta, those people probably like each other.
It's the balance.
Those unicorns. Yeah. If you find unicorns that do the work, and you like working with them, and all of a sudden the culture's, hey, this is great. We actually coming to work. Those are the unicorns. Those are the hard ones to find. You can train anybody to do almost any job, right? Yeah. You always want to find the person that fits with your culture.
Yeah. There was just a video clip that I saw of Gary Vaynerchuk saying the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. Your number one performer, your number one salesman can be an asshole. You got to get rid of him. And they're going to say, why? Because he's affecting everyone else. He's that cancer within in the organization. So as long as they're not a cancer and as long as they're not negatively affecting everybody, if they're just quiet, sullen, in their cubicle, doing their job, kicking ass, we don't have to go out and have beer afterward. I appreciate you. I will reward you. I will treat you like everyone else. That's the other part. As a leader, you have to treat everyone fair and equitably. You have to. Otherwise, you're going to be accused of favoritism. So you got, if you have fair and if you treat people,
but that's
fair,
human nature also, right?
What, fair and equity or
no, favoritism?
Favoritism.
You have favorite people as a leader, even as a leader. I'm sorry, you have people that you like.
You do. You do.
Along with
you
and,
do.
And that's hard though, because as a leader, and this, oh, we're arguing. I like this. Okay.
No. Constructively arguing.
Constructively arguing.
My friend, leader, Jeff.
You're going to have favorites. That's human nature. You, the people that you know and trust are going to be the people that you favor over the people that you don't like.
Right.
But so that's okay. A hard line.
And I do agree with that. I do have my quote unquote favorites, the ones that I get along with better than others. I always say that. They're not my favorites. I just get along with them better than others or my favorites. But when it comes down to like pay increases, you can't say, I'm going to give Geoff a 2% raise. I'm going to give Sam a 2% raise. I'm going to give Jeff a 2% raise, but I'm going to give Myra a 3% raise because Myra and I are friends. You can't do that, especially when it comes to pay increases, because employees talk. I don't give a shit what NDAs you have them sign and what double top secret lock boxes you put them in. They're going to talk and they're going to text and they're going to email and say, I really like my 3%. You got 3%. And then all hell breaks loose and everybody hates you. And there's a posse looking for a lynch mob. So it happens. And yes, you can have your favorites, but I have done things like give out gift cards, and I've done things like give out. I always like, I do handwritten notes a lot, and I do that. And are there people that I give handwritten notes to more than others? Yes.
Geoff just mentioned the no and trust for a phrase. And Mr. Geyer, since you sparked this little dust storm, what's your opinion in terms of liking the folks you're meant to lead, even in the context of you do business with folks and trust?
Yeah, that's why I wanted to talk about this, because I haven't landed, and I don't think we as a group, and I know we're at the end of our time here today, but we haven't landed on a single spot, right? The question sounds like demands a yes or no answer. Do you have to like the people you lead? Yes or no? And the answer is somewhere in between. And I think that's what we're talking about. We all have a different perspective. And if we're talking about pay, I'm not sure why Myra's a good friend and she only gets 1% more. But that seemed like a good friend, Conrad.
She gets extra gift cards.
Oh, she gets that works out to 20% more over the year.
Don't judge me. Right. Don't judge me.
There's a difference between treating everybody the same and treating people equitable. And that's a different podcast episode probably. And it's different if you're talking about gift cards and handwritten notes like Conroy talking about, which I think is an excellent thing. If leaders aren't doing that, they should. That's different than maybe tapping someone for a special project that you're doing because of their past performance history is really good, or they have certain skills or expertise in an area. So you tap them, and then other people in the company are thinking you're doing that just because you like that person, those kind of things. So this is a tough one. And then, like I said before, my some kind of internal desire that I would much prefer people like me than they don't, even though I know there's lots of people that don't. And so how does that translate to the question from my perspective as a leader? Do I have to like the people that you lead? And for me personally, I think the answer is more yes. Can they be effective employees if I don't like them? Absolutely. But I have this thing inside of me that I want to like people. And the truth is, I like almost everybody.
It seems the idea of like at work is conflated with a lot of dignity and respect.
If we don't feel dignity and respect, then the like
isn't going to exist.
Got to have that.
Bingo.
Right.
Regardless if you get along with them or not.
Yeah.
So there was one particular point in time when I was arguing against a group. The group had this whole big discussion, and I came up with a counter argument, and somebody in the room turned to me and said, I like the way you think. We never once had a social interaction, didn't go out for drinks afterwards, but her phrase was, I like the way you think, which tells me there's some respect there. So that's how I'm smush all this together. If I don't like the folks because they act without ethics, without integrity, then they don't belong there. So I think that's what I'm saying. If you're part of the team and constructive contributor is going to be there, because that's what we're there to do.
And Myra brought up, you can like them, but not trust them. We all know. We like people, but we know people who they are. There's people that I tell my wife all the time, I think they're great people, but I know exactly who they are. I know what they are. I know what they're going to do. And
yeah,
but I like them. They're good people. They're great. They're nice.
They're not the people I want to go hang out with and spend my free time with.
But I know who they are and I know what they can do. And
right. Yeah. Or vice versa. He's a party, but don't give him the checkbook.
Yeah.
Myra, your face lit up on that one, Myra. And we're out of time. So if maybe you can wrap this one up for us.
Oh, Myra.
I got hooked on Sam saying, I like the way you think. If we could wrap up this whole thing, it's in communication. It isn't about whether we like them or not, but more about, can we work with them? Can we be an effective leader?
There you go.
And to me, that pretty much wraps up the whole thing into a nutshell.
Yep.
That's perfect. Thanks, guys. We are a little bit over time here, but what a topic today.
Thanks, McLaughlin. And keep it longer.
Stick around next week for next week's episode, where we're going to talk the flip side of this conversation, which is, instead of do you have to like the people you lead, next episode's question is going to be, can you be an effective leader if no one likes you? So come back to the No More Leadership BS podcast next week, where Dr. Sam, Jeff Conroy, Myra Hall, Jeff Geoff McLaughlin, and me, Jeff Geyer, will tackle that question. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Letterbuck.